Well, over the course of the last 6 or 7 weeks, I have laid a foundation leading up to this point. And this is where I begin talking about what is the gospel. I've talked a lot about the need to know what the gospel is and clarity on it, and that we are a gospel fellowship and we believe the gospel here. And now, in the next few weeks, I'm going to pick that idea up and explain the elements to you. I think it's the most important aspects that we'll cover. Everything before that has been laying the foundation for understanding this, and everything I'm going to teach you after this flows out of this. So really, this is the crucial center of everything we do here. Evangelical Christians, I think, have made an unfortunate mistake over the years, and that is to shorten the gospel message. I talked about this before, that the danger is to take one element of the gospel and make that your whole story. So there's a mistake in shortening Jesus' message. When Jesus proclaimed his message, what did he call it? He called it the good news of the kingdom of God, right? That's the language he uses. So when we say, well, do you believe the gospel, or do you know the gospel, or have you heard the gospel, we're not even using really the language of Jesus anymore. We're using modern evangelical language that we use as a shortcut. And shortcuts are okay. There's a need for that. It helps to shorten the amount of words that you use to convey ideas. That's a good thing. But Jesus said it was good news of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as it's in some of the gospels. Of course, the Greek word is what we take the idea from, the gospel, the good news. That's really where we boil it down. However, when we shorten out that and we say the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the most important part of the whole expression is the kingdom. It's really about the kingdom. Really, what we should say is, are you in Christ's kingdom? Do you know the kingdom? Have you heard the message of the kingdom? That would actually get people's attention, because that would be language that, wait a minute, I haven't heard people talk like that. I'm going to start doing it that way. Because Jesus emphasized the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he talked about. Whenever we just go the gospel, we've changed the language that from what he used to something else. And it affects our message. Any gospel presentation that lacks a focus on the kingdom is no longer what Jesus taught. And that is a huge part of the problem today. Now, as I've said before, evangelicals have substituted one part of the message. And you know, as I go through the gospel, there's five elements to it, okay? Five elements to what I think the gospel is. And evangelicals have taken one portion of that and called it the gospel. So let me review here these five main elements. And you know, it's funny, I was talking to the man the other night, and Larry was there. He was saying, you know, he's heard me say this and gone through it. He's saying, but you know, if I tried to put it all in my hand, I'd struggle to do that. So as an exercise to help you, one of the things that I do, I use a lot of repetition over and over again. Yeah. And the reason I do that is so that it begins to stick in your heads. But there's another aspect is I'm the one who does the repeating most of the time, but not you. And until you begin to verbalize it and repeat it multiple times, it still isn't going to stick in your head. It'll be some of the things that'll get there. So if I went, what are the five elements of the Gospels that I've taught you over the years? The first one is Jesus is God and man, right? What's the second one? Jesus is Lord and King, all right? Number three. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. Number four. I'll give you a hint. This is the one that we call the gospel whenever we do it. This is what evangelicals call the gospel now. The kingdom is established through death and resurrection. The focus on the death and resurrection of Christ, we've taken one of five very important, significant truths that Jesus taught, required people to believe. We've taken one of those and we call that the good news. We've taken 20% of the message and turned it into 100%. And you wonder why we failed as a church. What's the last one? You must adopt the value system of the kingdom. This is a crucial. In fact, the bulk of Jesus' teaching was number five. The bulk of it was. And after I finish the series, I'm going to be getting into going through the book of Matthew and John and other places where Jesus interacts with people and he causes them to look at their own value system. And he compares it to his value system, or the value system of the kingdom. And he says, can you tell a difference here? Somebody's got to change. When he'd say, come follow me, it was an invitation to come into his kingdom, recognize that he was the king, that it was a spiritual kingdom, that you had to adopt the value system of the kingdom. The value system of the kingdom is sacrificial love for the benefit of others. You can't leave out any one of these five elements and consider yourself faithful to the message of Christ. Furthermore, understand that there's sub-points to each of these main points. You know, so when I talk about the kingdom, there's elaboration for each of these. This is putting into five crucial categories, but there's a little elaboration on them. Of course, if there wasn't elaboration, there wouldn't be a series of sermons coming up, right? And finally, please, don't speak of number four as the gospel anymore. I know you've been trained to do that your whole life, and number four is not the gospel message. It's not. It's part of the gospel message. It's part of the good news of the kingdom. It's how the kingdom gets started and continues. Let me show you this another way. And I might do a whole sermon on this one again for you. On the road to Damascus, the Damascus Road Gospel. You know, Paul, he's persecuting the church. He's on the way to Damascus, and Jesus shows up and says, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And there's this interaction. And if you read in the book of Acts, in the couple of accounts there, and you read in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, you will see where Paul is expressing the ideas that were conveyed to him in that one meeting. So we get, again, the Sunday school idea. Paul's riding along on his donkey, horse, walking, whatever. He sees the bright light. Why are you persecuting? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Oh. And he's blind and he goes off. That wasn't the whole story. There was this interaction. He speaks, and Jesus says a lot of things to him in that moment. One of the things Paul wants to really bring out in the book of Galatians is the gospel that he teaches people, nobody taught it to him. He didn't learn it from Peter. He didn't learn it from James or John. No man, he says, taught me it. Well, where did he get it from? You sit in the corner and make it up? Where did he get it from? He got it from Jesus. When? Well, primarily got on the road to Damascus. In that one meeting, these are the elements that come out. In that one meeting, Jesus was the Christ. He was the king. In that one meeting, this comes out. So that's one of your points, isn't it, in the five elements of the gospel. Salvation was found in grace and not in works of the law. The gospel was for all people, Jew and Gentile. Resurrection was available to all those who followed Christ who have the power over sin and death. Why could Paul meet Jesus? Because he had been raised from the dead. And that was the message that he was going to go out and begin teaching. And the last one, Paul had to replace his value system with God's value system. This is what Paul learned on the road to Damascus. Does that look anything like the previous slide? Yeah. So when we move toward a proper understanding of the gospel, the kingdom, you know, over the years, I had to get to where I am. How did I get here? Well, I sought to carefully examine the teachings of Jesus, going through the Gospels and say, what did Jesus really say his message was? You know, going through, reading every section carefully, and basically, here's the core element of what he's teaching. This is what he really wanted people to understand. Write it on a piece of paper. Keep reading. All right, this parable that explains that idea, but it doesn't add anything to that idea. Continue with all four Gospels. Okay, now, what did Paul say? Read all the books of Paul. What did Paul say? This thing here is the gospel. You must believe this thing here. This is an illustration of how you're supposed to live, but it's not the crucial element you're supposed to believe. Write it down on a piece of paper. Go through all of Paul's writings. Compare the other apostles. That's what I did. I wanted to find the irreducible elements of the gospel message. Strip away everything else. The idea is that it would be illustrating how you're supposed to live, but not the gospel message itself. The good news of the kingdom. What did you take away to get to the irreducible message? In all of those five things that I mentioned earlier, which one of them would you take out and still have the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom? Well, some people try to take out the fact that Jesus is God, don't they? Right? Well, I'm sorry, you're not Christian anymore. I mean, in terms of Christian doctrine over the last 2,000 years, I mean, I see where you're coming from, but sorry, that's not considered Christian doctrine. I mean, from right at the beginning. And we'll talk about that next week. Jesus is Lord and King. You know, there's some people that say you can become a Christian, that you can be saved, and not consider Jesus as the Lord, the King, the boss, the ruler of your life, who gets to call the shots. Frankly, I'm sorry, that's not at all anything like what Jesus taught. He was saying, I'm the King, you will follow me, and you will do what I tell you to do. So that one's not coming out, or you're not teaching the gospel of the kingdom anymore. The third one, the kingdom of God, is a spiritual kingdom. It's people that tried to make an earthly kingdom. The Roman Catholic Church tried very hard to make an earthly kingdom, still believe it's an earthly kingdom, in fact. What that leads you to do is kill a lot of people over the ages. It leads to other problems. But there's Christians today who want to bring an earthly kingdom of God and implement the Mosaic Law, as I was talking last week, to make it the law of the land of America. Sorry, that's not what Jesus taught. And it's the good. It's for all people. It's a spiritual kingdom. The big issue in the first century was that Gentiles could be part of this. So you see a lot of discussion by the apostles on that issue. The fourth one, the kingdom is established through death and resurrection. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Do you believe that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead? How about you? Do you think you won't ever be raised from the dead? Well, one of the things that we covered a few weeks ago about faith, we believe in a God who raises the dead. Sorry, if you don't believe that, that's a crucial element of the message. And finally, you must adopt the value system. It goes back to the idea that he's king. You must adopt it. Not to be saved, but as a result of being in the kingdom. All right. There is one true gospel. How do I know this? Look what Paul writes. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Now, he's condemning them for it. Don't get that verse wrong, pulled out of context there. He's condemning the Corinthians for that. Somebody can come along and give them a different message, and they'll go, ooh, wow, new teaching. He said, you idiots. He didn't say those words, but I paraphrase. Here's what he said to the Galatians. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Strongest language you see from Paul ever in his writings. Very powerful. The gospel is the crucial thing to get right. If you get it wrong, you're under a curse. It's the good news of the kingdom. Thus, there's a danger in too little as much as well as too much. If you take anything away from the gospel, you have a problem. But if you add anything to it, you got a problem, and it's not the gospel anymore either. That was the problem with the letter to the Galatians. But there's another question. Is everything in the Bible part of the gospel? Well, I hope after last week's sermon, you're able to adduce that some things in the Old Testament aren't part of the gospel of the kingdom. Good. I'm happy for you. But a lot of Christians will go, well, everything in the New Testament is part of the gospel. I'm sorry. No, it's not. This might come as a shock to you, but it's not. And the Christians who believe that, they go through the New Testament looking for all the laws they're supposed to follow. And they're back to the problem last week. Law doesn't transform you. So let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. Because you're saying, some of you are sitting there going, wait a minute, now he's just fallen off track here. Wait a minute. Do you really believe the dress codes for women and the head covering stuff applies to you today? Is it part of the gospel of the kingdom? Well, I'm waiting for the women to start nodding who aren't wearing head coverings. Do you see the problem? You already don't believe that you have to follow everything in the New Testament. or you would be doing that. And I've met churches that they do that. Since none of you ladies are doing that, I take it that either you're ignorant of what's in the New Testament, or number two, you don't think you have to follow everything there to be saved. So you're back exactly where I just said. Not everything in the Bible or in the New Testament is part of the gospel. Now nobody can look at me funny because you're all on the same board with me, right? If it's not part of the gospel of the kingdom, you don't need it for salvation, of course. Now, it does beg the question, why is it written there and what does it mean? And we need to answer those questions and we need to understand those questions. But I'm not covering those all today. All right. Now, again, I sought to examine the teachings of Christ and the apostles, more specifically Paul, because Paul's writing to the book of Romans. The whole idea there is to lay out what the gospel is the writing of Galatians to lay out the gospel there. And to say, what are the points that Jesus stressed is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom? What did Paul say? You had to get right or you were accursed. What are those things? You know, those lists match up perfectly. The list matched up perfectly, and they have five elements to them. The exact same five elements. So you see what the apostles are teaching, the same thing that you find in the Gospels. Now, you may not agree with those five things that I listed there. Now, you're free to have a little bit of wiggle room. However, if you do disagree, you have to prove to me a couple of things. You have to prove to me this. What did I leave out that was so essential? Like the person I mentioned last week who said, you left out that you have to keep the Mosaic Law. Yeah, I left it out. I left it out on purpose. You have to tell me if you want to add anything to that list, why it needs to be added, and why, and then you'll be entering a debate with me on whether or not that's correct theology. Sorry. Or whether or not I misinterpreted some text or idea. Now, of course, this is a long introduction, isn't it? It's like, whoa, this is a long introduction here. Well, think of it as an introduction to a series of sermons that I wish I would have all day to just have you sit here. We could sit here for 3 or 4 hours. I could go through this whole idea. I'd prefer to do it that way, but I'm not going to. So it's for a series over the next few weeks. And as we go through them, I want you to keep this one idea in mind. What did Jesus proclaim as his message? What did he say his message was? What did Paul say was essential for salvation, to consider yourself a Christian, part of the church? What was taught that had to be accepted as true, or else condemnation would come to you as an unbeliever? There are certain things. And that list that I'm giving to you, the list that's on our website, the list that I show you and teach from, the gospel, that's the list. I'll elaborate in the weeks ahead. Any questions at this point before I move on? Okay. Our focus at Thinkers and Believers is that you need to understand the gospel correctly. That you need to get this part right. You need to understand it, you need to believe it, and you have to live it. Why? Well, the gospel has two parts to it, or two aspects to it, right? There's a part that you believe, and a part that you do. If you want to read more about that, take your bulletin, open it up, and there's a blurb in there from my book. Okay, a part that you believe and a part that you do. It's not enough to just believe some things as true and never act on them. So we talked about a few weeks ago, that shows you have no faith. Faith actually moves to do something. It's not enough to just act and not believe. There are good people in this world, better than a lot of Christians that I know. But they do not believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that he died for their sins. They don't want to be part of a kingdom. They're good people and all. They're still not Christians, and they aren't part of the kingdom. There's a part that you believe and a part that you do. Both parts are an aspect of faith. Because the Bible, when it speaks of belief, always has the aspect that it changes you and has an outcome in this life. Now, beyond that, unified understanding of the gospel. You are free to choose whatever traditions you want, even though we may not practice them here, and whatever interpretations you want. If you understand the gospel correctly, as I lay it out, these five points, And I'll elaborate them in the next weeks. So if you get that right, that's the gospel message. You understand the good news of the kingdom. If you believe it, you're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom together. The rule of the kingdom applies that we love one another as Christ has loved us. The consequence of breaking that rule is we forgive one another as God has forgiven us. We're in there together. And I really don't care beyond that what your other theology is. It's going to be different than mine on some of the points. And there's probably some points of my theology I could throw out to you that would freak you out. But I got the gospel right. And since I have the gospel right, you're obligated to accept me. Romans 15:7. This is my really crucial verse for our church and why we really heavily put this on the website. Therefore, welcome one another as God, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. On what basis does God welcome you? On what basis does Christ welcome you into his kingdom? There's one basis. What is it? That you've gotten the gospel right. That you believe he is God and man. That you believe that he is Lord and King. That you believe that the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's not an earthly kingdom. That it's established by death and resurrection, not only Christ, but your own. And finally, that you adopt his value system. That was his message. And if you accept his message, he welcomes you into the kingdom. And then Paul writes, you are obligated to welcome anyone who gets that message right, even if the other parts of their theology you don't agree on. You don't have a choice. You're obligated. Isn't that great? I love it. We're not permitted to have division over things that aren't essential. We're not allowed to. So don't confuse the application of gospel with the gospel message itself. For example, when Paul would write, this is how you should do your church service, or this is how you should love one another. He's illustrating the idea of how we're to love one. The command is, love one another as Christ has loved you. How that works out in a different century, in a different culture, with a different people, in your life, with the people you know and the needs they have, is going to be different than other Christians in other time periods. But the rule of the kingdom to love one another sacrificially never changes. You're going to disagree with me on your eschatology. So I don't even know what eschatology is, so how can I disagree with you? Great. Great. There'll be things you'll disagree with me on and disagree with one another on. But this is the part that we believe. The beautiful part is the part that we believe is about God's sacrificial love for us. And the part that we do is our sacrificial love for one another. They're always tied together. It's one message. It's unified and it's around the kingdom. So it's a practical message, right? It's a practical message. You're saying, well, this wasn't very practical compared to the last 7 weeks. It's very practical. God's value system is sacrificial love for the benefit of others. It's the one rule of the kingdom. Show me how that is not practical. This is the most practical thing you'll ever hear in your life. The point is, it applies to everyone in the kingdom. And you have to do it for everyone in the kingdom. Now, you're not called to do it for those outside the kingdom, because they will exploit you and use you. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But you must be able to determine who's in the kingdom if you're obligated to welcome them and have sacrificial love for them. Our fellowship with other believers is based on whether or not they get the gospel right. All of it right. All right, I'm only saying there's like 5 points here. Now there's elaboration and stuff on that, but yeah, it's pretty much sums it up. But when somebody shows up and says, I don't believe that Jesus is God, well, I'm sorry. All right, we've had a couple of different people in the last several months show up, and that's been their theological position. They'd agree with everything else. They're just a little unsure of that one point. You know what? Hang around, fine. You know, listen to what I have to say. I teach you. But I'm not going to equivocate on that point. I'm not. I'm not going to equivocate on any of these 5. This is it, folks. You agree with them? great. You don't agree with them? You can hang around and maybe you'll become convinced, but they're not changing here. Because that's the only measure I have to know whether or not you're in the kingdom or not. That's the measure Christ left me. And so the way we do membership here, you just need to agree with those five elements of the gospel. And of course, I'm going to elaborate on what those are. But I don't think if you can kind of grasp those main points, you're not going to have any trouble with them. But the crucial one that we have here is number five. You've got to adopt God's value system of sacrificial love. See, membership here isn't based so much on what you believe. Like a lot of churches have a doctrinal statement that you have to believe. Well, we have that too. It's just you got to believe the gospel. Well, I'm more interested in how you live. And if you come in here and you just want to use and exploit other people, I'm sorry. You don't fit in to the kingdom of Christ. But if you want to come in here and show that you have sacrificial love and you're growing in it, fantastic. I don't expect perfection. Trust me, I'm not perfect. And God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just expects us to be moving forward in that growth. So the measure of your place in this community is how you treat other people in the community. So it's very simple, it's very practical, and it's very biblical. It's all according to the gospel of the kingdom. It's about the kingdom here, folks. This is what this church is about. Getting the gospel right and living it. So the church, the capital C church, fails in evangelism because she stopped teaching the one true gospel and replaced it with a stripped-down, impractical version. What's the gospel if it's not a call to love one another? What's the gospel if it's not a call to love one another in a relationship that looks like God's? What's the gospel if it's not a call to transformation? What's the gospel if it's not a call to deep faith? Well, to me, it's not a gospel anymore. And people are running around telling people they're saved when, trust me, they're not saved. This is a Christian church. This is a gospel fellowship. That means our fellowship with one another is based on the gospel of the kingdom, and it's not based on anything else we choose to believe beyond that, your traditions and interpretations. You're going to have different views on baptism, depending on your background. You know, maybe you were baptized as a baby in a Lutheran church, and you say, you know, that was good enough for me. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Or you'll say, you know what, but it's not good enough for me. I want to be baptized again. Great, I'll baptize you again. You see? That's not part of the gospel message. It's in there. It's in the New Testament. It's something to do. I expect you to work it out in a way that appeals to your own conscience. It's difficult for people to think that we have to accept one another just based on that. I know other churches. I know other pastors. They will not meet with people of other denominations. And it's not based on whether or not the gospel's right or wrong. It's there are other things they've added to it. That's why we've taken a stand here and said, we will not add anything to it that will limit our fellowship. But we will get it right to begin with and make that the focus.